The future general who would storm through Europe against incredible odds was finding it difficult to calculate basic numeric equations. His grades were so bad, he was forced to repeat his freshman year. Through determined and intensive study during his summer break, however, the following year he was able to finally vanquish his mathematical nemesis once and for all. Patton would ultimately graduate from West Point on June 11, 1909, ranked 46th in a class of 103. With his academic record intact, the world once again seemed ripe for George Patton to pick. Immediately after his successful completion of his studies at West Point, Patton was able to realize his childhood dreams of riding across the plains on horseback when he was given the post of second lieutenant in the United States Cavalry, a field that would eventually lead him to his true destiny as a tank commander when horses would be phased out by mechanized warfare. It was at this stage in Patton's life that he would find himself temporarily settling down, getting married and having children. He wed his longtime love, Beatrice Ayer, on May 26, 1910, with whom he would have two daughters and one son. Then in September 1910, his military service would bring him to Fort Sheridan, just outside Chicago. It was here, just 3 years into his service, that Patton's life would take another sudden turn when his superior selected him for, of all things, the Olympics of 1912. At this point, the modern Olympic Games had only just been revived less than a decade before, in 1896. Patton was given the honor of representing the United States in the fourth Olympics due to his excellent fencing and running ability, something that he was already well known for during his stint at West Point. 3 years after his exploits at the Olympics, in 1915, George Patton was transferred from Fort Sheridan to Fort Bliss, Texas, right across from the Mexican border. It was here that he became embroiled in border skirmishes between American troops and the Mexican bandits who frequently raided the border towns. The situation on the border would become progressively more strained, culminating in March of 1916 when the Mexican general Pancho Villa sent about 100 of his fighters over the border to lay siege to the town of Columbus, New Mexico. It was in this surprise attack that Villa decimated the 13th Cavalry Regiment of the United States, stealing nearly 100 horses and a wide assortment of military equipment before burning the entire town to the ground. To say that both the United States military and citizenry were shocked would be a massive understatement. This attack was the first major incursion on U.S. soil of a foreign power since the British attacked in 1812, and an instance of outside aggression that would not be repeated again until the Japanese bombed Hawaii on December 7, 1941. Having that said, the U.S. government took this raid very seriously. As a result, then-President Woodrow Wilson ordered 5,000 U.S. troops to cross the border and capture Pancho Villa. General John Pershing was commissioned to lead this charge, and it was Pershing who soon after recruited George Patton to assist him in the effort, eventually making him an integral part of the 13th Cavalry, the very unit that had been sacked by Pancho Villa. It was here that Patton would have his first foray into combat when, on May 14, 1916, he took 10 soldiers and 2 civilian scouts in 3 Dodge touring cars over the Mexican border. It didn't take Patton long to find his target, as he and his men quickly located and overtook a group of Villa's militants, killing 3 of them in the process. This gained Patton some immediate notoriety in the press, who began to call him the Bandit Killer. Despite this early success against Villa's bandits, Pancho Villa himself remained at large. The expedition was called off in February of 1917. Patton didn't have to sit idle for long, however, because the winds of change were blowing in Europe, and the series of events would soon launch half the planet into World War I. It was here that Patton's old mentor Pershing was commissioned as the commander of the AEF, American Expeditionary Force, in the conflict. Following in Pershing's footsteps, Patton was soon sent to the Western Front to join him on May 15, 1917. It was here that Patton would first become acquainted with the newly minted mechanized military behemoth known as the tank. During his time in Europe, he actually attended a French tank school, expanding his knowledge and excitement on the subject exponentially. Patton's interest in tanks would soon pay off when he was given the post of first officer within the United States' own recently established tank corps. Patton soon became an expert in tank maintenance and strategy. After World War I came to a close, Patton's beloved tank corps was temporarily disbanded,